John. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John's gospel. And while you're turning there, let me remind you that Bible school is June 12th through the 18th, 5:30 to 8:30 each night, but we need volunteers. And I want to ask you, ladies, to please be sure to sign your name on that volunteer list in the foyer. It helps in planning and preparing. I know many of you are planning on helping, but get your name on the list, and that'll be a great, great help to Melissa and those that are working with her to make Bible school possible. So we looked at last week at some of the miracles of Christ. As far as an introduction to the miracles, we talked about how there were 9 crowd-related miracles and 35 specific individual miracles that were worked. And what's glorious about that is it just lets us know that that our Lord is able to work in a crowd, at church, and he's able to work in our individual lives. And we're thankful that he does miracles in our lives. So several years ago now, I preached a message, and I think probably, Elise, it's probably on our app. So you can go to our, of course, Facebook page and go back through our services and watch those. We're on YouTube as well. But we also have an app, and I'll get Elise to go ahead and sometime and put that posting on Facebook, how to get to that app and have it on your phone where you can go back and look at listen to previous sermons. Several years ago now, we did preach this text that we're reading tonight. And the title, I'm going to title tonight what I titled it then, because it's the focus and emphasis of this text. But the title then was Carrying the Water. Carrying the Water. So this is the first miracle that Jesus performed, and we find it in John 2. Now, let me restate that. This is the first recorded miracle that Jesus performed. Now, remember what John says at the end of his book. We don't have all of the things that Jesus did written in the Bible we hold in our hands. We only have the things that God, through his Spirit, felt like needed to be recorded and given to us. And John said Jesus did so many other things that all of the world couldn't contain the books if a book was written on everything he did. So this is the first recorded miracle that we know of that Jesus did. John chapter 2, let's look at the text. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now let me say this, there's about 4 other times in Scripture, and I'll let you study this out in your personal study time when you get your exhaustive concordance out and look up Mary, the mother of Jesus, but there were about 4 or 5 other occasions in Scriptures where Jesus and Mary had specific dealings with each other. His mother was an important part of his life. There's 4 or 5 other times where there's dealings with just Mary and Jesus between themselves. And so Mother's Day is coming up Sunday, and I just want you to know that Jesus, he would be celebrating Mother's Day with us. He celebrated his mother. So the mother of Jesus was at this wedding, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine till now. This is the beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." So a few things to point out before we kind of close out the text, a couple of things that come to mind as we read this. So Jesus is at a wedding. They begin to run out of wine. Mary notices it, and she says, "Hey, Jesus, you got to go. You got to take care of this problem." He says, "Look, what's this problem got to do with me?" He's not being disrespectful when he says, woman, do this or do that. He wasn't being disrespectful at all. It was actually a term of affection that he used in the Greek text. And so she says, look, we know that you can do these miracles. And so the governor, he makes the point after the miracle is worked, and he says, look, you know, usually at these weddings, all the guests are filled up on food and the good wine first, and then toward the end of it, when everybody's backing off, slacking off, then we give the old wine or the not-so-good wine to the guest. And we don't understand why you saved the best to last. So that's the miracle as we see it. But I want to point out a couple of things. Let me just address it first off, the issue of this. Someone said to me one night, I arrested them for DWI, and this was the comment. The guy said, well, Jesus turned water to wine, and so that's why I was drinking tonight. And I said, look, man, if you're so concerned about what Jesus said to do or what Jesus did, then why don't you live everything else he said to do instead of focusing on this one thing? So let me just address that issue. You need to understand that the wine that was at this wedding, it wasn't Mad Dog 2020, okay? Are you with me? Say amen. Somebody's been there, I know. It wasn't wine like we'd go up to the wherever you buy wine at, I guess the grocery store, where it's not like that wine today. This was much, much different. To begin with, there is the word wine that's used in the Bible that refers to a wine that is a very intoxicating beverage. This is not the word that's used when it talks about wine here. This type of wine here, it number one, had been boiled before it was put up into storage. And then when it is served, it's diluted anywhere from 3 to 10 parts water to wine. So you're not going to this wedding to get drunk and dance to the disco ball. Because this is very, very different than what we have today. So this is by no means an acknowledgement from scriptures saying, hey, go drink all you want to drink because Jesus turned water to wine. That's not it at all. In fact, even though the Bible does not specifically state the principle of total abstinence, I believe it strongly encourages total abstinence from any kind of alcoholic beverage. And here's one of the reasons why. Listen, and science and doctors tell us this. 1 out of every 10 people who try alcohol for the first time become alcoholics. 1 out of every 10 people who try alcohol for the first time become alcoholics. So let's put it in this way. There's 10 planes sitting on the runway over here at the Cannon Airport. And if I told you that it's guaranteed that one of these planes is going to crash, no doubt about it, right after takeoff, it's going to crash from 1,000 feet and go straight to the ground. Would you get on any one of those 10 airplanes? You can take your gambling bet if you want to and play Russian roulette. I'm not going to get on any of the 10. The risks are just too high. And so that is with alcohol. And here's the deal. Listen, if this is what our children see us do and they follow suit, you got to remember, children oftentimes they'll take to the extreme what they see us do. Who is to say that they won't be one of those 10 who becomes an alcoholic in their lifetime? That's a very serious thing that we have to consider. I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm just letting you know this is not a text to okay social drinking. It's not that at all. So a few things, though, to say. We mentioned last week that some of the purposes of Jesus' miracles. Hey, remember, we don't believe there are any of those 35 or those 9 public miracles. We don't believe that any of those was random. We believe that he did it with purpose and there's something in it for you and I. This one right here tells us that he did this miracle to show his glory, but also the disciples believed on him. It increased their faith. And so this miracle here specifically was used to let him receive the glory, to show his glory, that he's God and he can work miracles, and also to increase faith of disciples. Now, one thing about this miracle that you need to know, there's only a few people here who knew about this miracle. It was his disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and just those servants that were right there around the Lord. The whole wedding party knew nothing about it. This miracle was among a small number and among a few. It's the way Jesus chose to do this miracle. A couple of things about this miracle is this. Number one, Mary had a problem. Mary had a problem. The problem was they'd run out of wine at this big celebration. And so Jesus worked a miracle because Mary come to him and asked him, please help us, we have need. And I want to mention that to you and those watching on Liberty Live. Listen, if you have a problem, you need to know that we have a God who works miracles and he's able to deal and handle that problem, to deal with and handle that problem in your life. If he has to move mountains, he'll do it. If he has to bring heaven down upon earth to do it, he will do it because he's a miracle-working Savior. He's a miracle-working God. And so if you've got a problem, then tonight you're listening at the right place. You're tuning in to the right place. You've come to the right place because we have a text here that shows us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a problem, and Jesus worked a miracle to relieve her and deliver her from the problem that she has. And he's willing to do the same for you today, or he wouldn't have brought you here and he wouldn't let you tune in on Liberty Live. So number one, there's a problem. So that's one of the things we need to think about as we look at this text. So there's another thing we need to look at this look at in this text. It's very interesting. Now watch this. This miracle is a miracle where the servants helped Jesus in delivering that miracle to the people. Okay, do you remember the feeding of the 5,000? What happened in the feeding of 5,000? Jesus, listen to me, we know there's 15, maybe 20,000 people hungry. What he could have done that day is with the crowd standing all around, just in a big mass crowd, listening to him preach and teach. What the crowd could have done that, or what Jesus could have done that day is the disciples could have come and said, Master, this crowd's hungry. Man, they've been here all day listening to you preach and teach this Bible conference. We got to feed them. And Jesus could have just blinked his eyes. He could have spoke a word and said, be filled. And instantly, all of their bellies would have been filled. And there'd be no hunger pains, and they could have went on. But that way, Jesus did that miracle. The way he did that miracle was, he said, well, what do you have around here? And the disciples said, well, you know, little Fred here, he's got a little sack lunch, you know, five loaves and two fishes. And that's all we got. And so Jesus took that little boy's lunch. We knew, you know the text. He multiplied it, blessed it, multiplied it, and fed 15 or 20,000 people. But he had the disciples do their part. And their part was they had to sit everybody down by rank and file. Let's get this thing done in order. Let's get everybody rank and file, sitting around. They sit them on green grass. And then they went through and they started passing out food row by row, row by row, row by row. And so this miracle was performed because Jesus said, do this, and they did it. Also, there's other miracles like that. There's a miracle of the healing of the blind man. Jesus put, remember, he spit, made mud, put the mud on the blind man's eyes. Now, he could have looked at that blind man, and he could have said, be healed, and you can see now. And that blind man would have had 20/20 vision for the rest of his life. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord went through a process. He put that mud on that blind man's eyes, and he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that's what the blind man had to do, go wash that off. And that's when he received his sight, the Bible says. And so Jesus has an interest to work miracles in our life. But listen what he says in this text. Even the mother of Jesus knows this. The mother of Jesus said to the servant, said, whatever he says to do, then do it. And they did it, and they received a miracle at this wedding in Cana. So listen, I'm just saying tonight as we look at this, number one, there's a problem. And Mary went to Jesus because she knew he could fix the problem. Number two, this miracle involved the disciples helping in the working out of this miracle. And so in this particular miracle, Jesus says this. He says, I want you to go fill these water pots up. Now remember, these are 10-gallon water pots. And you also remember that they didn't have a garden hose where they could go fill those pots up. Of course, now, you know, liberals say don't drink out of the water hose because you'll, you know, die of some dreaded illness or disease. But I don't know about you, but I drunk half my childhood away from the end of a water hose. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm still okay today. I think I am anyway. Now, my youngins, on the other hand, they may be a byproduct of me drinking out of water hoses. I don't know. You be the judge of that. Anyway, wherever I was going with that, because Elizabeth's looking at me funny now. So remember, they didn't have water hoses. Remember, they didn't have a scrub room where they carry those water pots in there. Like, they had to go to the well, and then they had to draw water, and then they had to fill that water pot up, and lower that bucket down again, and fill that water pot up, lower that bucket down again, and pour water into that water pot until water pot number one was full. And then they had to pick it up, and then they had to carry it all the way back into the wedding and set it down in front of Jesus. Then they take the other water pot, and they go to the well, bring that drawing bucket up, pour it into the water pot, lower it back down, bring it up, put it into the water pot. And so this is a time-consuming process, and it required them to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because Jesus said to do it. Didn't make sense. I mean, after all, He's God and he's Jesus, so why can't he just blink his eyes or snap his fingers or just speak a word, and all of a sudden there'll be enough wine to go around? That ain't the way he chose to do the miracle. He chose to do the miracle by asking his disciples to be a part of it and ask them to do something. Sometimes we have miracles come to our life. We got to do something. And so here's the thing. So the wedding party's waiting. They're waiting. They don't know a miracle is happening. They don't know it's taking place, but they're waiting. And so while they're waiting, and even while the disciples are waiting, and the servants who are going back and forth filling up these water pots, even while they're waiting, because Jesus said to do it, he's got a miracle in mind, and Jesus said to do it, so they keep going, back and forth, until they get the water pots full. And then that's when Jesus performed a miracle. Listen, I want to say this. When we think about miracles tonight, you need a miracle in your life. You're watching online. You need a miracle in yours or in somebody's life that you know of. I want you to know that one of the hardest things you'll ever do is knowing that God can work miracles in your life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but having to wait for that miracle. See, there's something you need to be doing in the meantime. And that's what these servants were doing and these disciples were doing. They were being busy for kingdom's sake. They were being busy in kingdom work, doing what the Lord had said to do while they were waiting on that miracle. And so oftentimes waiting, that is the hard part when you're waiting on a miracle. But listen to me, if you go home and get your exhaustive concordance out, because you've got one at home because you're a student of the Bible, and every student of the Bible has an exhaustive concordance. When you go home, you look up that word wait or waiting, and then read all the occurrences of that word. And you're going to see that it's in the waiting that God does his greatest works. It's in the waiting that God performs miracles. It's in the waiting that God does for us what we could never have done for ourselves. But here's the thing. In the waiting, we're not supposed to sit there and just twiddle our thumbs. We're not supposed to throw up a little umbrella on the beach and grab our little Coca-Cola with a straw in it and just sit there and say, I know a miracle's coming, so I'm just waiting on it. No. See, you got to be busy doing kingdom work in the meantime. And you've got to trust him enough to know that you've already received that miracle. You're just waiting for the manifestation of that miracle. It's coming. God's lined it up. He's a miracle working God. But this could be a miracle in your life where you've got to do something before you can be a recipient of that miracle. And that's one of these miracles that Jesus performs, where he involved the obedience and action of those that are around him, his disciples or whoever he's healing, whatever the case may be. So there's a miracle in the waiting. So this text, as we read through it, we see that disciples, they go, they bring the water, they go, they bring the water, they go, they bring the water. Isn't it funny how that it's not recorded in the text. There may have been some side conversation on one of the many, many trips to the well. But isn't it interesting that it's not noted? There's no word there about the disciples and servants saying, man, Jesus screwed this one up. Like, here's how he should work this miracle. And instead, he's got us going to the well every day. Every day, or every few minutes, we're having to go to the well, draw out water, put water in the water pot, go to the well, draw out water, put water in the water pot. This is so time consuming. It's hot out here. We got people waiting. We're waiting. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. We need the miracle here. We need it now. It can't wait. This is the craziest plan I've ever heard of. We don't see them doing that at all. But what we see them doing is they're busy. They're busy doing kingdom work. They're busy just doing and going while they're waiting on that miracle. And when they get back with all that water, the Bible says they put it in front of the Lord. And that's when that miracle takes place, as they begin drawing that out. Drawing that out, giving it to the guest, drawing it out, giving it to the guest. So there's somebody that's watching online tonight, or somebody that's come here to the Lord's house tonight. And, well, you're just in need of that kind of miracle. You're just in need of God doing something great and miraculous in your life. But listen, when God does some miracles, it doesn't mean we can just sit back and we just simply idly wait. But while we're in the waiting, we're busy. While we're in the waiting, we're living by faith. We're doing kingdom work. We're on assignment, tasked out by God. And while you're waiting on your miracle, here's what you need to be doing. And what you're going to find out is somewhere along the way, when you're waiting, while you're waiting, go study that out in your concordance. Start reading every occurrence of the word waiting. You're going to find out that it's in the waiting that the blessing comes. Feeding of the 5,000, hungry people. I guarantee you there were some hangry people in that crowd. It's hot. It's outdoors. They've been there all day. They're tired. They're weary. They're worn. They're cranky. Being around 15,000 people in that day, it'd make anybody like that. And so I know there were some hangry people like that. Abigail, when she was growing up, she never really got in trouble a whole lot. But when she did, about 9 times out of 10, it's because she needed to eat something. And so I knew. And so I'd be like, Abigail, your mouth is about to get you jacked up. Go eat something before you really get heated up. Let me put it that way. And if she eats something, she'd be fine. So, you know, she teetered, I guess, on the edge of a low blood sugar, and she needed to get food in her. So this crowd, 15, 20,000, can you imagine being in that crowd and being one of them people who get hangry and having the disciples say, hey, 15,000 people, the Lord's about to feed you. We got to sit you down rank and file first. One sits here. Two, you sit here. Come here. Three, sit right here. Four, now let's make a line down through there. There's 10. Let's start a second row. One over here on this second row back. Two, come on, you come on in here and take seat number three. Number four, for 15,000 people. They must have been sitting there scratching their head, saying, man, I wish there's a Burger King somewhere close. But they sat there. They waited. And somewhere along the way, they got their miracle. So if you're waiting on your miracle tonight, as we close out this message here on carrying the water, and you want to know what you're supposed to be doing until that happens, well, don't just be sitting there twiddling your thumbs. Just start carrying the water, because he's got a plan and he's got a purpose in the waiting for you. And it's in that waiting where your faith is developed and where he gets the most glory. And remember, anything that God does in our life, anything and everything that God does in our life, he does it for two reasons only. He always does things in our life for our good and for his glory. And you may not find the good in it or know the good in it or ever know the good in it, but you've got to know, according to God's word, that when he's making you wait, there's good in it for you. He's molding you, shaping you, making you what he wants you to be. So there's good in it for you, and I assure you, when it's all said and done, it'll be a miracle in such a way where he'll get the glory. Because that's what he ultimately wants from all of our lives, is for him to get the glory. So I love you tonight, and I pray while you're waiting that you'll just be busy carrying the water, doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing until God works that miracle in your life. And for those of you online, we pray you'll get your miracle as well. But in the waiting, that you'll be busy doing kingdom work and letting God grow you so that you can be used by him. We love you. Stand up tonight. Tell somebody you love them. And we'll see you on Sunday morning.